Gracious Heavenly Father, we give you the thanks and the praise and the glory for all that you do, for all that you've provided, for your promises, for your word, for your Son that you sent to save us, and for the Holy Spirit now that you gave us to those who believe on the Son, believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And so I thank you for the Holy Spirit, Lord, particularly as we study your word, read your word, study your word, grow in our understanding and guidance as we're led by the Holy Spirit. So we ask for that filling this morning for each one of us as we open the new fourth book of the Psalms and show us things that maybe we hadn't seen before. I pray that my teaching will be helpful, and I just pray, Lord, that this psalm, along with the rest of the psalms we have yet to go through, will be of interest and meaningful for our lives, and we can take and see your promises through it all. So thank you, Lord, for this time. We thank you for the people who have come here in this place, and we thank you for those who may be listening in as well, and we just ask for your blessing on each one who hears. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I think I'm going to get started right off the bat on book 4, Psalm 17, Psalms 90 through 106. There's a lot of good psalms in this. Now, most of them, you'll see on the board, the author is unknown. There's only the first one, 90, that is attributed to Moses. Of course, Moses wasn't living at the time that the psalms were given, but his word, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. You'll see probably in your title for Psalm 90. So we'll start on that one, 17 verses, and then we'll go to Psalm 91, which should be familiar in many ways to all of you. And we'll look at the words to the song on eagle's wings. Even though eagle's wings are not mentioned in this psalm, there's an implication for it being eagle's wings that we're under. And so we'll cover that in detail as well. So we'll get through these first two psalms in total detail. I'm going to read every word of them because they're familiar, I believe, and of interest, and we should can almost have parts of them memorized, if not all, because it's a really great psalm. So anyway, we'll start right out this morning with Psalm 90. If you have your Bibles open, you can kind of follow along the handout that I gave you at the beginning of this lesson for Book 4. I've titled this out of trying to relate the five books of Psalms to the five books of the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, and I've done that by title there. It isn't perfect, but it's of interest. I think it's of interest that there's some similarities. So we are moving to Book 4, which is related or connected in some way to the book of Numbers. And I've titled this book of Psalm, the fourth book of the Psalms, as the reign of God. And just by way of trying to separate it from the other books. So we'll start with Psalm 90. I've isolated Psalm references. The first one is Psalm 1 to 4. The middle one is 5 to 12, and then the end of it's 13 to 17. So there's a total of 17 verses in this psalm. And so I'm just going to start by talking about the first four verses, and I've titled it by verse 4, God is not bound by the sense of time. You'll see why what this verse tells us. So let me read each of those four verses, and then we'll talk about it a little bit more. So verse 1 goes, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Verse 2, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Never a beginning, never an end to what who God is and what he's done and what he will do. Verse 3, you turn men back to dust, saying, return to dust, O sons of men. And then verse 4, and that's the one I'm emphasizing here in this particular section. For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. So to God, a day is like 1,000 years, well, the opposite. 1,000 years are but a day to the Lord. So time is relatively meaningless to him. When you're infinite, when you've always existed, and that's, again, a concept that humanly we have trouble. He had to come from somewhere, right? God had to come from somewhere. Well, nope. God has always been and will always be. And that's beyond our human comprehension. But when we believe his word and we recognize his word and we see how he continues to remind us of his word, we can believe it, and we can look forward to it, because we know God is in control of all things. So, but that time, and so that's why I titled this first four verses, God is not bound by the sense of time. Time is not, well, it is relevant, but it's not really the most important thing. And when we think about that, I guess I just think, how much are we connected to time? I mean, how many times do we look at the clock? How many times do we keep track of the time? You know, if we want to watch a program on TV or whatever, well, we got 10 minutes, so I'll do something else, and then I'll catch it in 10 minutes. But we are, you know, instruments of time, and that's just the way our culture is. That's the way we operate. But so I thought that first section is relevant for the difference between God and his creation, us. The middle section I called the length of our days, because verse 10 gives us a pretty good indication of what life expectancy is. Now, this was written back, you know, hundreds of years before Jesus even came. And so let me read these verses from 5. And 10 is the one I'm emphasizing. So, you sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. Though in the morning it springs up new, by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. God knows everything. In other words, he sees everything. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. And then verse 10. The length of our days is 70 years, or 80 if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, and they quickly pass, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. And then verse 12. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So while we're living out our days, living out the time we have here, which is really a very short time in comparison to the totality of God's character and time, we need to use it wisely, use the time wisely. So that's second section. And then the last part, 13 to 17, I titled by the last verse, "May the favor of the Lord rest upon us." And so let me read those last verses, 13 to 17. Relent, O Lord, that's Yahweh. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. And so we need to seek God's guidance in what God is leading us to do and desiring of us to do. So anyway, that's Psalm 90, particularly as I identified a couple significant verses talking about to God, you know, 1,000 years is but a day. Norm, you have something?
When
you get old, you know time moves. It moves slow when you're old, or does it move fast? Yeah, so yeah, it's all relative to our individual situations. But okay, so we're going to move on to Psalm 91, which is probably one of the most popular psalms. The one that a song has been made to and probably been sung more than any other psalm. I don't know if you're aware of it. You know, many of you have been to many funerals along the way. This is probably one of the most popular songs to be sung at a funeral, on eagle's wings. And so even though, as I said, on eagle's wings are not specifically mentioned in the psalm, the image is clearly there, and it really speaks to us. And so I'm going to take the song, take the stanzas of the song, and match it to the scripture here as we go through it. And there are basically four major stanzas of the song that are given to us almost word for word from the Bible, from Psalm 91. So I'll point those out, and I'm going to do it. I actually broke this psalm down into six different sections, and I'm going to start with verses 1 and 2. So verses 1 and 2, I call it verse 1 of On Eagle's Wings. And so I'm going to read it from the psalm, and then I'm going to read the verse from the song itself as it was written. So from the Bible, verses 1 and 2. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, that's Yahweh, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And the actual words that were taken from the Bible, made into the first stanza of the psalm. Now this was written by Michael Junkus. He was a Jesuit priest. It was composed, I think he actually wrote the words to it in 1977, but it was composed and made into the psalm that's become very popular and sung a lot in 1979. So, but that first stanza of the psalm is, "You who dwell in the shelter of the Lord, who abide in His shadow for life, say to the Lord, my refuge, my rock, in whom I trust." And so you can see the comparison of the words in the scripture to the words that the psalm was written, how it was written. Then I'm going to move on to let me just read the chorus, because following each stanza is the chorus. And I think we need to be reminded, you probably know it by heart, particularly those who have sung it or heard it in probably very familiar with it. But the chorus is the same, and it's done four times, 1, 2, 3, 4, after each of the other stanzas. And this is the chorus. "And He will raise you up on eagle's wings." I know you've heard it many, many times. "Bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of His hand." And I think that's why it's so personal and relevant for funerals, because it's that sense that when the believer dies, we know that they go to be with the Lord, and they're in the palm of His hand. You know, He's caring for them at that time. So that chorus will be repeated after each stanza. So let me go on with stanza 2, which is Psalm 3 and 4 of 91, verses 3 and 4 of 91. And it says in the Bible, "Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers." So there's a sense that it is a bird. "And under His wings you will find refuge. His fullness will be your shield and rampart." And so, And the song itself, that stanza of the song, is very similar. The snare of the fowler will never capture you, and famine will bring you no fear. Under His wings your refuge, His faithfulness your shield. And then again, the chorus follows that, if you listen to the words of the song. So then the third section, third verse, is really verses 5 to 7 in Scripture, and it reads, "You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you." And so the actual song is written, "The snare of the fowler will never capture you, and famine will bring you no fear. Under His wings your refuge, His faithfulness your shield." And then the chorus. And then the fourth, the next section 8 to 10, I just titled, No Harm Will Befall You. So there isn't an exact stanza in the song on Eagle's Wings, but the implication. So let me read verses 8 to 10 as we reflect upon this. 8 to 10. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. And those three verses were not specifically used as part of the On Eagle's Wings, but it still is very relevant to the whole image talked about here. So let's go on with the next section, which is 11 to 12. Verses 11 and 12, and this is relevant to the fourth stanza of the song. And I'll read what the Bible says first and then follow it with the writing of the song. So 11, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. So the song itself says, for to his angels he's given a command to guard you in all your ways. Upon their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And I'm just going to finish this with the chorus again for On Eagle's Wings. And he will raise you up on eagle's wings. Bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand. And then the last line of the song is repeating that, and hold you in the palm of his hand. So, you know, very popular and touching hymn, and it just fits with this psalm. So let me now finish Psalm 91. With the last verses, 13 to 16. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And I just concluded that with because he loves the Lord. And that's what we're all asked to do, is to love the Lord and follow his way and his commands. So, okay, I think that takes us through those first two, which are significant. Now I'll move on a little quicker through a few more of the psalms as we have time here. Psalm 92. Psalm 92 is 15 verses, and I broke it down into four sections. Even my sections are a little wordy, so maybe I'll just. I'll read through each section, kind of verses 1 to 7 I will start with, and I just titled it, It is Good to Praise the Lord. Make music, proclaim your love and faithfulness. I sing for joy, the wicked will be destroyed. So let me read those first seven verses of Psalm 92. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High. To proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. To the music of the 10-string lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, O Lord. I sing for joy at the works of your hands. How great are your works, O Lord, how profound your thoughts. The senseless man does not know. Fools do not understand. How true that is. That though the wicked spring up like grass, just look at what we see going on in our world, and all evildoers flourish, they will be forever destroyed. And that's the sad truth. All these that think they're making a difference in the world by killing Jews or whoever, they're going to be held before the judgment seat, the white throne judgment, unless they repent and change their ways. This is serious business, and God does not take it lightly, particularly for those who are enemies of his chosen people, even though they have not yet all received Jesus as their Messiah. So anyway, it's kind of relevant for our news, you know, the couple, the young couple, the young Jewish couple that were shot down in Washington, D.C. You know, it's sick. And then they call out, you know, for the Palestinians, you know. It's not helping anything. Okay, let's move on to verses 8 to 10 in Psalm 92, which I describe as, "But you, O Lord, are exalted forever. Your enemies will perish and be scattered. Fine oils have been poured upon me." And I'll just read the verses themselves. 8. "But you, O Lord, are exalted forever," just as I said. "For surely your enemies, O Lord, surely your enemies will perish. All evildoers will be scattered. You have exalted my horn like of a wild ox. Fine oils have been poured upon me." So it's pretty much the same thing. And then the next section is 11 to 13. Let me just read those verses, 11 to 13. "My eyes have seen the defeat of my adversaries. My ears have heard the rout of my wicked foes. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God." And then finishing it with the last two verses of 14 and 15, and pretty much, "They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming the Lord Yahweh is upright. He is my rock," capital R, "and there is no wickedness in him." And that's what God is seeking us to proclaim, him as the Lord Yahweh and our rock of our salvation. So all right, let's go on to Psalm 93. I just have two sections in this. It's only five verses. Verses 1 and 2 is the first section, and 3 to 5 is the last. So I'll just read 1 and 2 first, comment on them if I see something that needs to be. "The Lord reigns," that's Yahweh. "He is robed in majesty." The Lord, Yahweh, is robed in majesty and is armed with strength. "The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved." I don't know how many are trying to move it and move it in a not a good way. And then verse 2, "Your throne," God's throne, "was established long ago." And then these words, "God, you are from all eternity." God alone is the only one that has lived from eternity past to eternity future. Did not have a beginning, does not have an end. Who's heard of such a thing? That's why the human mind has a hard time comprehending that. You got to take it by faith. You got to believe it. If you don't believe it, you're lost, because he is eternal. And so that's, I think, the importance there in Psalm 93. The seas have lifted up. The Lord on high is mighty. His statutes stand firm for endless days. Now, Psalm 94, the next one, is a little longer. It's 23 verses. I've divided it into five sections. So I'll just read each section. Verses 1 to 4 first. And I just started it with, O Lord, O God, who avenges, shine forth. And then most of the rest of it will be right in what I read. 94. O Lord, the God who avenges, O God who avenges, shine forth. Rise up, O judge of the earth. Pay back to the proud what they deserve. How long will the wicked, O Lord, how long will the wicked be jubilant? They pour out arrogant words. All the evildoers are full of boasting. Isn't it true? It's so relevant. It continues to be relevant. And I think it's just sad, but how long will the wicked be jubilant? All the evildoers are full of boasting. Verses 5 to 11, going on from there. They crush your people, O Lord. They oppress your inheritance. They slay the widow and the alien. They murder the fatherless. They say the Lord does not see. The God of Jacob pays no heed. Take heed, you senseless ones among the people, you fools. When will you become wise? Does he who implanted the ear not hear? Does he who formed the eye not see? Does he who disciplines nations not punish? Does he who teaches man lack knowledge? And the Lord knows the thoughts of man. He knows that they are futile. And then we have 12 to 16, the next section. Blessed is the man you teach. For the Lord will not, 12 to 16. Blessed is the man you discipline, O Lord, the man you teach from your law. You grant him relief from days of trouble till a pit is dug for the wicked. For the Lord will not reject his people. He will never forsake his inheritance. Judgment will again be founded on righteousness, and all the upright in heart will follow it. Who will rise up for me against the wicked? Who will take a stand for me against the evildoers? And then 17 to 19 is the next section. When anxiety was great. Unless the Lord had given me help, I would soon have dwelt in the silence of death. When I said, my foot is slipping, your love, O Lord, supported me. In verse 19, when anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul. That might be a good verse to put somewhere. How many of us suffer from some form of anxiety, worry, fear, anxiety? And I think that verse kind of says it. When anxiety was great within me, and that's all I'm thinking about, your consolation brought joy to my soul. So think of the things where God has worked in you, through you. You've seen his hand move when you're struggling with anxiety. I think is a good thing to try to copy. Verses 20 to 23, which complete this psalm. Can a corrupt throne be allied with you, one that brings on misery by its decrees? They band together against the righteous and condemn the innocent to death. But the Lord Yahweh has become my fortress and my God the rock in whom I take refuge. In verse 23, he will repay them for their sins and destroy them for their wickedness. The Lord Yahweh, our God, will destroy them. That's the consequences. That's the end result. God is in control, and we need to recognize that. All right, I'm gonna go on. We'll see if we can get. I think we can get through 95 here. Maybe stop after that. Three sections. I divided 95 in 1 to 5, 6 to 7, and 8 to 11. It's 11 total verses. And it starts with, "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord." So those of you that are singing this morning, do it with joy to the Lord. So, all right, so verses 1 to 5. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock, capital R, of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord, Yahweh, is the great God, the great King, capital K, above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. That's the first section. Verses 6 and 7 next. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock of his care. Today, if you hear his voice. Somewhere along the way, I think this has been a hymn. I'm not sure.
It's called the Liturgy of the Liturgy.
It is the liturgy, because I've memorized this at some point in time. And now I'm kind of reminded of it, so... It's a good one to have, you know, ready at hand. So, verses 8 to 11, which concludes it. For 40 years I was angry. So God was angry with his people, with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declare on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And so that's the fear. If we don't follow God's ways, God will not allow you to rest. And so I think we can get through 96 here too. It'll only take a couple minutes. I've got five sections, verses 1 to 3. Again, it reminds us, as those who go to prepare to sing, I read, sing to the Lord, a new song. Do we have any new songs this morning?
We do.
We do, huh? Awesome. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. And then verses 4 to 6, which he is to be feared above all gods. 4 to 6. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord, Yahweh, made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Verses 7 and 8. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord, glory and strength, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. In verse 9, standing alone, worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. And then it finishes with 10 to 13. Say among the nations, shout it to the nations, say among the nations, the Lord reigns. How easy that should be, but how hard it can be. Because we're a little fearful what the feedback might be. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. They will sing before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness, plumb line, and the peoples in his truth. We'll stop there for today. And those who are going to sing, lift up your voices. Let's get us all to singing.
That would include you.
Yes. That includes me. I try, but anyway.
Joyful noise.
Yeah, joyful noise. Anyway, let's conclude in prayer and look forward to our time of worship. I'm going to pray for Raymond, too, as he is struggling a little bit this morning. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time you give us to be in your word. Thank you for these words through the Psalms that we heard this day and can go back and reread them and maybe remind us continually of what you're seeking us to do and help us to make things right with you in our lives. And we just thank you, Lord, for calling us to be in your house through your Son, Jesus Christ. So we thank you for this time that we've had together and in the words of the Psalms. And we just pray now ahead of time for our time of worship. We pray for each part of our worship service. We pray for the fellowship as we come together. We pray for those who will come into this place. We pray that your Holy Spirit will move and touch people in ways that they maybe never been touched before. And send them out into the world to share the word with others. So we thank you for the fellowship we have together in this place. We thank you for the prayers that will be offered up, the prayers perhaps some that have been answered, that we can rejoice in and be glad and thank the Lord for. But we also pray for our time of scripture reading, and we pray particularly for our time of the message this morning that's Raymond's to give. But we know Raymond's struggling a little bit this morning. I just pray now for his health and well-being. Pray that you lift him up. Lift him up and hold him in your arms as he prepares to be able to fulfill what he is ready, has been made ready to do this day, that your word will be heard and your word will be honored and taken out into the world to share with others. So we thank you for each part of our service. We thank you for the music that will be sung as well. We thank you for Charmaine and her selection. I just pray that the music will touch hearts as well as we sing this day. We lift all these things up to you in prayer, and we just ask for your hand to touch those in need at this point in time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.